I want to just take a minute while I'm thinking about it, because I've been thinking about it this week. My wife has, the sands of time is running. Amen. So my wife is getting ready to turn over another year, celebrated this Thursday, April the 28th. She will be Wednesday. I know, Sherry. Sherry couldn't talk till now, and now she's booing me. Can you? I thought she's just going to hiss. Last week, Sherry had laryngitis, was told not to speak, so she was talking. She was talking to Doug in sign language. He understands that perfectly clear. He doesn't even need a course in sign language to understand that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so grateful that you're here tonight. And let's sing happy birthday to Sister V. And let's thank Jimmy and company for this magnificent cake that we, my wife and I, are going to help celebrate her birthday with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't even tell me what's in it. Praise God. All things are being received when sanctified by the word and prayer. And we're going to pray, God, just take all the calories out of that cake, and that way we can eat all we want of it. Praise God. Just use our faith out there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great if we could decalorize everything? And praise God. But I've been praying for her metabolism, for Valda's metabolism. Just give me her metabolism and give her part of my anointing, and because I'll have plenty left. And hallelujah. Praise God. God is so good tonight. Praise the Lord. We're gonna try to study the word for a little while this evening. Let's sing happy birthday to Pamela. She's right there resting her feet and whatever. Amen. But she can hear us. Believe me, if I say something she don't like, she will let me know from that room right there. Amen. Father, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for another year. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy who wanted to sift us as the wheat is having to eat crow now. He's having to back off and understand that we serve a good and gracious God, a God that can keep what we commit unto him, not only against that day that's coming, but for this day right now in which we're living. So, Father, we're glad to have you as our Savior. Thank you for a good wife. Thank you for a help meet for me. Thank you, Lord, for somebody to do these things that I just couldn't do myself. And Father, for a perfect compliment, Lord, to me. Father, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Now let's sing happy birthday to her. Hallelujah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Venable. Happy birthday to you. And it's a highly top secret what age she is now. Ditter said she's going to have all of these young ladies looking to her as she goes into her modeling career in these latter years. Sister Vimble, they're laughing awfully loud out here. Praise God. If you have your Bible, please turn back with me to Genesis 49, chapter 1 through 4. And I want to just teach a little bit further on this issue of how important it is to come into a place as Christians where we are established in the Lord, where we are not in this instability of character and double-mindedness that robs not only us of our blessings, but robs God of his usefulness in our life, the things he wants to do in and through us. He wants his name to be glorified through everybody that is here. Can you say amen? Story of Reuben is a tragic story because it's doubly tragic because he was the double portion heir, amen, in that family. Reuben was the one in line for the inheritance. He was the double portion son. He was the eldest son. And the things that is said about him, that Jacob said about him, his firstborn, he said, he's my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. To have all of that, all of these things, all of these pluses in his life, and to throw it away for a sexual sin that would disqualify him from being the man that God had ordained and called him to be. It's so tragic. One of the most tragic things that I see is, other than sinners that are lost and going to hell, are Christians who have this opportunity to serve the Lord effectively and to live a life that will bring glory and honor to God, and to live a life that is influential in touching other lives for Jesus Christ, and to see people trade that for some illicit relationship. I see people marry outside the faith and supposedly going to win whoever they marry to the Lord and end up letting someone pull them away. I see people get in relationships, run with a group of friends that sway them. And the missing ingredient in so many people's lives is not an anointing. Amen. It's not the anointing. The people, highly anointed people, fail God. One of the tragic things in scriptures is when Saul died on the field of battle because he was genuinely anointed to be the king of Israel. And under that anointing, when he led the armies of Israel to battle, they were unstoppable and God granted them great victories over their enemies. But when he fell in battle because he in his character, there wasn't, the anointing won't change your character. If something isn't already there, the anointing can't make you what God wants you to be unless you have a heart desire to be holy and pure and set apart unto God. The anointing won't take the place of that heart desire. Amen. So the Bible said, how art the mighty fallen? When David began to lament, instead of dancing around because now he's going to get the kingdom and now they're going to see that Saul was wrong and he was right, all of these other things, he saw it as a tragic event when Saul fell. And he said, how art the mighty fallen? Because Jonathan, out of his loyalty, you know, we thought he was a pure character. He loved David. He supported David. He came into a real genuine love for David, but his loyalty to his family, i.e. his father, he chose to stand with Saul when he knew Saul was wrong. And so he died with Saul in battle. Compromise is a serious issue tonight. It'll open the door for the enemy to do things that God would never give him the authority and does never give him the authority to do. You say, what can the devil do to a Christian? Anything you let him do, he can do. That's why the Bible said, give no ground to the devil. Can you say amen? And what we need in the Christian circles today is not just people imparting anointings to people. We need people being taught in the Word of God how to grow in the character of Jesus Christ. It's character that determines your victory, not just your anointing, your knowledge of how to use spiritual warfare principles and all of that. Listen, if you don't have strength in your character, somewhere along the line, Satan is going to lay back, he's going to wait, he's going to seize his opportunity. And we're seeing it in some of the highest echelons of Christian leadership today and in the music world. There are people that were never, ever perfected in that character. And that instability that was there throughout all the time, that everything looked so good, but when the pressure's on and the chips are down and the heat's on, what's in here comes out. Can you say amen? And the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of God, That's what's so tragic, the anointing. How art the mighty fallen? They were swift as eagles. When Jonathan went with his dad, they stood shoulder to shoulder in battle. They were swift as eagles. They were unstoppable. God gave Israel victories through their leadership. How art? Here's the tragedy, the mighty fallen. Mightily anointed, mighty warriors. How art the mighty fallen? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep for Saul and Jonathan. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in Ascalon, the twin capital cities of the Philistines. They're going to have a blast when they see anointed ones fall. Don't you know hell has a party every time a preacher fails, every time a Christian falls, every time, amen, a Christian marriage is disintegrated. Don't you know hell has a party? Every time a pastor comes out and, you know, a pastor was arrested for soliciting sex over the internet, had sexual paraphernalia in his car, pastored a church of several thousand out in Texas, and he was caught in one of these sting operations, arriving at somebody he thought was a young woman's house that he had solicited, had an influence over several thousand people for God. But with whatever credentials he held, there's something he didn't have, and that was strength of character. He didn't have integrity. He didn't appreciate or value the influence that God had given him, and neither did Reuben. Reuben had it all. He had it all. He was the when they put Joseph down in that pit, they would have killed him, but Reuben, to show he had authority if he would have used it, Reuben step forward and say, don't kill him. And they didn't. You know, Reuben could have said, get him out of there. This is wrong. And they would have listened to Reuben. But Reuben, because of a lack of any strength in his character, went with the flow. You know what's happening in Christian ministry today? So many people want the applause of men. They're going with the flow. Unstable. Unstable on the inside. Highly qualified on the outside. But unstable on the inside. Pentecostalism and charismatic circles in particular, we've made the mistake of implying, if not coming and saying it outright, if you get highly enough anointed, that'll protect you from all these deceptions and all of these temptations. That's baloney. Some of the highest echelon of leaders have fallen. Amen. And they're going to continue to fall unless we begin to address something deeper than just the impartation of gifts and anointing. Now, I'm Pentecostal, and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that the anointing breaks the yoke. Everybody say, the anointing breaks the yoke. Amen. Praise God. We used to call it the anointing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to go where the anointing is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The anointing does what? It breaks the yoke. It's powerful. But it comes upon you. Character is something that happens within you. Samson had an anointing come upon him. But he had no strength of character within. Amen. And what happened to Samson? Oh, well, he got all, you know, he repented, he got back, he killed all them Philistines, yet he died himself. Blind and broken and beaten and battered. And so bitter. You know, things would have really changed if Samson would have said, Lord, strengthen me one more time that I may bring back the honor to the name of the God that I have dishonored. Amen. His concern wasn't for God's name being dishonored. You know what? You know the only thing he was concerned about? You want to hear his prayer? What he said exactly, King James? Lord, strengthen me one more time that I might avenge myself of my eyes that they plucked out of my head. Amen. God didn't give him the strength to avenge them for his eye. God gave him the strength so that God's name would be honored again. Can you say amen? How many realize it was for God's glory that God came upon Samson, not for Samson's glory? And by the way, he lost his eyes because of his own foolish sins. He was unstable on the inside. We've taken for granted, if I just talk in tongues and I have give some interpretations and I do these things, that somehow the devil's just going to have to back off of my life. No. In fact, if you have gifts operating through you and you have power and potential, he's going to make you a target for temptation, a target for persecution, a target to do harm to. Amen? And there, you know where character comes out? It's not while we're sitting here generally. I've seen it coming out here before, but it can happen here. Don't get me wrong. But you know where that's going to come out? It's when nobody else is around. Nobody else is around. And all of the projections of who we are come down, and the real us stands there before the Lord. In my quiet times, in my alone times, when my thoughts are mine to think, and there's no one but God to see or hear. That's when character is revealed. Can you say amen? When pressure is on me, character is revealed. Sometimes I fail the test and I know, God, you got to do more in me. I know you're not done with me. I came into the Christian faith with a complex. I'm not trying to psychoanalyze myself or talk psychobabble to you, because God can handle all this stuff. I've always believed that the God that creates the universe and created you can fix you. If you ever buy Rolls Royce, let me give you a clue, not because I own one, but I heard these things about that. The guarantee is only good on that car. It's a lifetime guarantee. It ought to be, amen, because you can buy five or six Cadillacs with what you pay for it. Can you say amen? So it's got a lifetime guarantee under one condition. You know what the condition is? No one, not Sears. You don't run it down to Sears because it's got a ping. You don't take it to Goodyear, or you don't take it to that mechanic down the street, or Joe Consumption's brother. Can you say amen? You don't know. Honestly, you haven't met Joe Consumption. Okay. You don't take it to him, Shade Tree Mechanic. I can fix it, he says. Yeah, but you'll ruin it. You'll ruin the warranty. The warranty's only good as if you take it back to a Rolls-Royce dealership. And a Rolls-Royce certified mechanic messes with it. You don't mess with it. You don't let all these people that say they know how to fix it mess with it. You let the ones who made it mess with it. Praise God. You know who? Oh, don't get me off too far off on this track, but I believe God wants me to go there for a few minutes. I believe God wants to be the one that fixes his people. I believe Jesus is capable. I believe the Holy Spirit is just ready and desiring to come and do a work in us tonight. I believe he can fix your mind tonight without Oprah and Dr. Phil. Can you say amen? I believe he can fix what's wrong inside of you without Freud. I don't believe Freud and Jesus would have got along very well. Amen. Freud would have asked you to fill out a questionnaire to put you to classify of just how nutty you are. Can you say amen? Jesus would have cast that thing out of you. Hallelujah. Come on, girl, help me preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Christian psychology really is strange to me because I've had some brushes with it when I got desperate for help. I was trying everything and anything, and I found out that a lot of these guys and gals out there are not interested in really praying and believing God and seeing the Lord do something. They've got expertise that they have learned, and they're taking their, you know, psychology 101 and a little bit of St. Matthew, trying to blend it together to Christianize it enough that it'll work. I believe God made you. I believe as a Christian we have a source that we don't have to have the professors of this world. We went through a whole thing where everybody was going, that counseling was so big, everybody wanted to get where there was a somebody with a degree. I know James Dobson's a great guy, amen, but I'm going to tell you something right now. There are things that he couldn't fix with his clinical psychological degree. There's things that only God can do, because everything is not a problem with the mind. So much of this is a problem with the heart. Can you say amen? And some of the people that were into psychiatry and psychology, Carl Menninger, you know what he said? Amen. Who had this psychiatric hospital and wrote all of these papers on psychology. He said, I believe if I could convince, amen, everyone in my mental hospitals that they were truly forgiven and they could get that guilt out of their life. That's the gospel. That's what only Christ can do, truly and fully. We may be in denial about that guilt, but that guilt gets in there and it sticks and it messes with the mind. Can you say amen? Listen to me. He said, I believe that 75 or 80% of all the people that I'm treating could walk out of there completely sane. Isn't that incredible? This is a psychologist with all the degrees, but he's saying it's the guilt that's in their hearts. If they could be forgiven and forgive themselves. And you know what God comes along and does and says, if you'll do real business with me, I'll forgive your sin. I'll remove them from you and disassociate you with it as far as the east is from the west. And your sins I will remember no more. Praise God. That'll help your mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Reuben sneaks into the bedroom, and a lady thinks it's her husband in the dark crawling in with her. What a soap opera this would make. Amen? So she doesn't fight this man off, but suddenly realizes too late, this is not who he claims to be. And slinking away in the dead of night, Reuben, the firstborn, thinks that his sin won't find him out. But she exposes him. And now his daddy knows what his son did. He has the right to have such an influence. He has the double portion of the inheritance coming to him. He has all of this, but he's trading it all for a fleshly sin. The fact that man can sin, does sin, doesn't take me back. We have a weak flesh, every one of us. And if we don't see a development, you know, Paul said, when I come to you, I want to impart some spiritual gift unto you. When people see that in Scripture, when they see spiritual gift, They immediately think anointings and impartation. I want to be a big shot like him. I want to be a big shot like her. Well, if God hasn't called you to be, God, well, tell you the truth, God hasn't called anybody to be a big shot. He's called everybody to serve. Everything that's done is for what? The edifying of the body. The building up of the body. Amen? Every bit of it. But it has to be the right motive. It has to be something in the character that says, I don't want these gifts to be seen and heard, appreciated, applauded, put up on a pedestal. I want these gifts to serve. Can you say amen? The Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily. As unto God and not unto men, for you will be rewarded of who? Is everybody going to appreciate you? No, they're not. Amen. I appreciate you appreciating me, okay? I really appreciate you when you appreciate me. I need that. But if that's the only reason that I was serving God is to get your appreciation, I would have quit serving God a long time ago because you just couldn't appreciate me enough to keep me going. Can you say amen? I'm serious. I mean, there's things you can't do. There's valleys so deep. There's places of discouragement so deep that you say, we love and appreciate you. I say, okay, that's good, but I'm way down here in this hole. And I really don't feel like serving God anymore. I love him, and I love the word, and I love the anointing. But there's times I want to go to the wilderness too and be at rest and hasten my escape from whatever it is that just seems continual. Amen. From the windy storm and the tempest. But what I do for Jesus, it changes everything, because some people will never appreciate you. I've had people that I was in church with for 20, 30 years. I was with them through, and don't think of anybody recent. I'm going way back. I'm going way, 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 way back when Sherry was this tall. Yeah, she played one of the munchkins in The Wizard of Oz at one time. Amen. You didn't know that, didn't you? She got too tall, and they fired her. But I remember those days. I remember people that had been in church for years, and I'd be with them through every crisis they'd ever been through. Went to leave on Christmas Day and leave my family and my home and my Christmas meal to minister to some family in need whose kids didn't give God the time of day but got into trouble. And I had to go there and try to help and soothe and come home to a cold Christmas dinner. And the presents had been over and everybody looking at me like I sold them out for messing up Christmas, you know, because they wanted Daddy there to, you know, we just wanted it to be right. And I've had to leave on Christmas Day and go to hospitals because I got an emergency call from someone so concerned about a friend of theirs in the hospital. And I would get to the hospital looking for the people at least to be there too that were so concerned about their friend that attended church. And they were at home celebrating Christmas. They just sent me to the hospital. And I'm praying with somebody don't know me from Adam's house cat, maybe don't even want to know the Lord. And, you know, it just gets crazy out there. And if I was doing that just to be appreciated, that someone would remember or care if I lived, died, you know, I don't want to show scars tonight, but I am scarred. You can't do this without getting hurt. Amen. People are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. But whatever you do, do it heartily. And you know what it does? Every time that I'm unappreciated, it tests my character. Are you doing this just to be appreciated? Are you doing it just to be applauded? Are you doing it just to be thought well of? Are you doing it for me? And I have to do a personal self-evaluation and say, Lord, whatever you do, do it what? Heartily. As unto who? Even though you're serving people, but who are you doing it for? As unto the Lord and not unto men. Here's something you need to get tonight. Wives, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love her. Self-sacrificially, with your whole heart. Amen. Praise God. And wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. Hey, I want to explain that. It's as your service to the Lord. You don't deify your husband. You don't put him up there with Jesus. I hate to break this to you, but your husband is not up there with Jesus. Can you say amen? Don't deify him. You're not even to worship angels, such holy ones. And I know your husband is no angel. And all the wives said, amen. Boy, that was the loudest amens I'll get all night long. I heard Sister Venable all the way out here. Even Rose said that about Brother Taylor. We know that double doors is not because we're concerned with the fire in here. It's so these wings can come through that he has to hold them down. She did, didn't she, brother? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know what I have to do? I have to face me. I have to face my character. I have to face what I am on the inside, not the anointing that is on me to preach, but what I, Robert, not Reverend, I, Robert, not pastor, I, not the preacher, but I, the man, what I am on the inside. And Reuben had all the credentials, but Reuben didn't have character. So Jacob called him. Let me read it again tonight. Are you with me in this just for a few more minutes? And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken to Israel your father. And as I said this morning, I must say it again tonight, I can see this man who doesn't know his sin has been exposed. This man who is the eldest of all the kids, he knows he's the double portion heir. Amen. I can see him when he says, I want to talk to you guys. I can see him standing up in his pride because he feels like this is mine by inheritance. I don't need a self-watch. I have all this by inheritance. Reuben, yeah. I'm the firstborn. Dad got anything to say, you say it to me, and then I can pass it down the line. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might. This is the tragedy. The beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Because thou went up to thy father's bed and defiled thou it. He went up to my couch. It's his stepmother, by the way, or it could have been a concubine, but the important thing was he went into his father's house. He went into his father's bedroom. And you defiled it. Reuben, the eldest son, the firstborn, had by birthright a place of prominence and preeminence in that Jewish family. He was the inheritor of a double portion by birthright. That's how it worked. And that's why in 2 Kings this morning we talked about in chapter 2 verse 9 through 14 that when Elisha asked Elijah for the double portion of anointing, no, he asked him for a double portion of his spirit. He wanted to have the strength of character that Elijah had because he knew it was that was more important than just the power to do these exploits and to do these things. God is looking for ministers that he can not only give power to, and Christians that he can just give power to. See, we would like to get in a line without anything to really cause us to take a hard look at ourselves and let God work within our character and bring forth the character of Christ within us. Can you say amen? And that's tough stuff because you've got to die so he can live. You've got to decrease so he can increase. I have to deny myself in order to follow him. Can you say, man? I can't have ulterior motives and follow him. The motive has to be pure and it has to be tested. You know what? And God will allow the test to come. And he said, don't try to build your faith and use your faith to not be tested. Don't think it's strange that fiery trials happen to Christians. Because it's through those very fiery trials that the test is taking place. We sung about a refiner's fire, and it sounded so appropriate for Christians to sing. But you know what the refiner did? The refiner of silver? God said, I'm going to be to Israel like a refiner of silver. I'm going to turn the heat up. Find out what's really in you. So I can get what's not right in you out of you. But it's going to take heat turned up. It's going to get so hot the impurities are going to be burned out. That's why the trials are fiery. It's not the running your hose just before time for church. I'm not talking to you, Jimmy. Amen. It'll be something else for Jimmy. Amen? Amen? Not these little things. It's these big things that come along that seem to overwhelm us, and we have an opportunity to show forth integrity and serve God anyhow, and give God the glory anyhow, and do what's right anyhow. We have to make choices. And in the making of those choices, that character's coming. And that character, and you've probably heard this, it's almost cliched, but before they had all of the technology that they have now for the refining of these ores, if you turn it too hot, you can ruin it. You had to keep the temperature just right to burn the impurities without harming or doing something wrong to the silver. And so that refiner was good at it. And I'm going to tell you, the refiner that's refining his church today, he's good at it. When I go through my test so I can see my own character and open the door to him if I do the right thing to do work in me, he knows just how hot to let it get for me. Can you say amen? He doesn't have one temperature for everybody. Amen. When Rose goes through her test, and she has, and she will continue, because amen. As long as she's here on this earth, that progressive work is going to go on by the Holy Spirit. God knows just where your breaking point is, and he knows just how hot to get it and stop it right there. And he knows how to add the grace sufficient to it so he can make it a little bit hotter, and you can stay in that furnace just a little bit longer. Praise God. Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows, amen, by looking in that character. Amen. He knows what that refiner, that ancient refiner of silver, knows. He would look at it until all the impurities were gone, heated just to that point, and before he starts turning that heat off or down or removing it, he's looking for his own reflection in the molten ore. Can you say amen? He's looking till he sees himself in it. What is God looking for in his church, every last one of us? He wants to see himself in us. He wants to get rid of all the impurities that make us unstable. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He wants to commit the important stuff of the kingdom to people that will see the value not just of preaching a citywide revival, amen, but see the value of going into the desert at noonday and standing in the sun waiting for further instructions. To see the value of a divine appointment with one Ethiopian man. Can you say amen? Tell me something today. Who has such a pure character that it doesn't matter so as long as they please God? Amen. That if God told them, I want you to go and rent a Colosseum and I will fill it, and God fills it, and you have a citywide revival, and the next thing you hear from God is, I want you to go down to Venables on Sunday night because I want to do a work there and it's important. Or it's not important. The thing is, I want you to go there. Who has the strength of character going from that level to come to this level? And it'd be okay. Don't you appreciate Philip's strength of character? You could see he wasn't preaching to be seen, to be a big shot, to have everybody looking up to him. He just wanted to obey his master. If 10,000 people come, I obeyed my master. If one Ethiopian, and the guy didn't just come over there and say, oh, God showed me that you were going to come. No, the Ethiopian's oblivious. He's on his way, just passes right by him. Amen. God says, join yourself to him. He has to run to catch him. Can you say, man, he's running alongside his chariot, and the guy's up there reading, you know, and he's trying to figure out these prophecies. He's running by the chariot, and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? Can you say, man? Come on, folks, if you're running with a chariot and a horse and you're on foot, everybody but Jimmy. See, Jimmy's always the exception. Jimmy run with that horse all day long. Every time I read that scripture, well, he used to anyway. Amen. Every time I read that scripture, if you run with the footmen and they weird you, what will you do with horses? I think of Jimmy. Jimmy, run with them horses. Hallelujah. Lord say he wants to have hinds feet. I said, give me Jimmy's legs. I don't need no hinds feet. Can you say amen? Just give me them legs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be able to smile tonight and know that tests are coming? They have come. And to know what God's doing through them and what He's up to. To know that He's interested in my character more than the charisma of the gifts. The gifts are for a divine purpose, but they do not make us strong in character. Amen. What makes us strong in character is when we behold as in a glass. Amen. Literally, that scripture means reflected in the Word of God. Whose face? Ours? No, His. So we can, listen, as we behold His face in the Word of God, we see God for what He truly is. We see Christ for who He truly is. We see the characteristics of an invisible God who has a very definite, distinctive character to the point that if He were a man, He would look just like who? And talk just like who? And walk just like who? Jesus, so that Jesus could say, amen, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. You understand an invisible, mighty, mysterious God in a personal, practical way. Follow me, and you can walk in a godly path, and you can live a godly life, because this is what God is like. And believe me, it's not so mystical, it's so personal and so practical. Amen. Jesus, although his manifestation and incarnation was so mysterious, Jesus was practical. Your feet are aching? He's down there with a towel and basin, the Creator. Nothing was made that He didn't make. He was the second person of the Godhead participating in the creation of everything in the universe. The Creator of the universe is pulling off shoes and washing these tired disciples' feet. Wow. Said, this is what your God is like. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Elisha wasn't after a double portion anointing so he could stand head and shoulder. Somebody got into that one time, and I bought into that because I didn't read it closely. He said, I want a double portion. I want to be like the double portion son. I want to bring glory and honor. Can you say amen? I want to have a place of influence so that I can lead people to do the right thing, so I can be a prophet unto Israel. There's a vacancy taking place here. Elijah's going, and we need someone in to fill that spot. I don't want to fill that spot so people will applaud me, look at me, pedestalize me. I want to fill that spot because God needs leadership. God need, and the people need leaders to point them to God. I want to be one of those leaders. Someone said, and this may be biblically true, but I think it has no relevance at all. If you count the miracles, he did double what the other guy did. It's not about doing more than the other guy did. If God called you to be a world-renowned, worldwide evangelist, you do what He's anointed and called you to do, to serve your master. If God called you to go live with some people down the Amazon and tell them about Jesus, you do what your master called you to do. You don't ask for more anointing so you can get out of that little hut and stand up and before television cameras. Can you say amen? That's not the reason for that anointing that came on Elijah, and it's not the reason that it came on Elisha. Can you say amen? It came because a man said, if you're looking for a man, and you let me be that man that you're looking for. God chooses the man before He just anoints. And there's so many services where impartations, everybody's going to get whatever the highly anointed one has. So they're going to impart to everybody all this stuff. And I'm not saying there isn't. Timothy, stir up the gift that was within thee by the what? By the laying on of hands. I believe gifts for ministry can be imparted by the laying on of hands. But I believe God is way more interested in strengthening the character of that person than just giving that person heavy holy anointings. Because without the strength of character, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, because I've seen it happen in 37. I'm not just bringing you truth from the Bible. I'm bringing you 37 years of pastoral experience. And I've seen so many people shipwrecked that took off out of the gate, highly anointed, going to do this and going to do that. But in their character, they couldn't have done a small thing. They got so above doing anything that represented humility, that represented just loving people and helping others. They had to be always speaking after a while in a condescending way, because I've got this high anointing, so everything I say is in a condescending way to the rest of you. And then the titles begin to go. If somebody don't give it to us, we'll take a title ourselves. Amen. There are prophets, but there's too many people claiming to be prophets out there today. Can you say amen? And there's too many. What did it say would happen in the last days? Many. What title would be misused and abused so much to deceive? Many false prophets shall go out into the earth, and they shall deceive many. Can you say amen? What was the issue at the church of Ephesus? People were taking titles. They were not God-granted and God-given, but they wanted them, because when you rise to certain stage, you get influence immediately given you. So there were those that came to the church at Ephesus and said, "We are apostles." And they tried them to see if they were apostles. Found them to be liars. Had a guy come to my church, walked in. The first thing he told me, my church, God's church, church I used to, you know, the big block church with the basement. He walked in and said, "I'm an apostle." And he could see by the way I looked at him like I was skeptical. Because he was announcing it. He wasn't loving anybody. He wasn't representing Christ-likeness. I knew next week he was going to tell me about his visions, dreams, his revelations, and all the things God had appointed him and anointed him to do. And I've heard all that. I've been there. I've done that. I've heard it. Show me something. Show me Jesus. I'm waiting to see his character replicated in somebody. I've heard preachers all my life. I'm waiting to see a replication of the character of Jesus. Paul had gifts, anointings, revelations. God had to literally let him go through trials to keep him humble, keep him from being lifted up above measure. He had such revelation. But when he got ready to leave, and they felt that where he was ministering, that they would see his face no more, something else had communicated to them than just all the revelations and anointings. They fell upon him, and they kissed him, and they wept. What was coming through? Jesus. Jesus. It was more than just an anointing. The love of God was flowing through him. Christ's meekness, Christ's goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. Say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit in our life, where he produces it, is what? It's the character of Jesus. If it isn't his love, it's our phony religious brand. If it's a phony religious brand, it won't hold up. Amen. How many know there's a phony religious brand? I've had people tell me they love me my whole life. It's cliched to me. It don't mean a thing. I mean, I love to hear it, but I don't trust it. Because the Bible said don't love in word and in tongue. That's not enough. But in deed and in truth. Not what you say, it's what you do. Everybody say do. It's in the doing. It's in the doing. So I love you. It's lost its integrity. People say they love God, but there's no integrity. There's nothing in their character. And then they'll quit him for this and that. And what we need back is something that we hardly miss nor demand anymore. And that's integrity. All of these blessings were legitimately Reuben's, but he didn't have integrity. Samson didn't either. The Spirit of God came on him. He took it for granted that it would come every time. Took all that holy stuff for granted. And when he took it for granted, he became vulnerable to temptation. Before he ever, listen, he began to compromise before the final compromise. And the first woman he compromised with was not the one that finally brought him down. He slept with a nameless Philistine harlot. Went into a city, spent the night with her. Got up the next morning, the Philistines were watching him, saying, "How can we trap him?" And they locked the gate, locked him in. till they could devise a way to try to kill him. He got up the next morning, walked up to that locked gate that they couldn't break with a battering ram. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Can you say amen? And he took the gates off their hinges, carried them up on the side of a hill and threw them down. Isn't that incredible? But he was already on the road to ruin. Can you say amen? With all of that anointing flowing, he was on the road to ruin. We got too many people seeking the charismata and not enough seeking the character of Christ. We've got the gifts of the Spirit way out in front, the fruit of the Spirit, until we don't even demand a holy life anymore, as long as some gift is flowing that we feel we need. We don't care about that characteristic. So when that man came in and declared himself to be an apostle, I was looking for a Christ-like spirit. Because if he's a true apostle of Jesus, he's a sent one by Jesus. And Jesus is sending people that will represent him and not themselves. And he could see I was skeptical. So he pulled out his business card. Solved it for me. That did it for me. There it was in big red letters. Apostle so-and-so, so-and-so. And I thought, there it is. That's all you've convinced me. I'm going to submit myself to you because I'm a lowly pastor and you're an apostle. And God must have sent you to straighten me and the church out and give us new revelation. So you got the pulpit Sunday. Step right up. No, I tried him. And I found out that he was under discipline from another church. And it was sexual sin that he was under discipline for. And he was mad about that, so he's just going to go to another church. And what better church to go to than a Pentecostal church? Because as long as you come in there declaring you're an apostle and talking tongues, hey, isn't that what we're after? Peter Popoff is still on television selling water. He's a shyster. Randy exposed him. My dad said, I can't believe it. It's him. I said, of course it's him. They love it. They eat it up. They know it's wrong, but they go after it anyway. No strength of character. Can't have the anointing of someone who's truly anointed. You manufacture it. The amazing Randy was a magician. Not magic like the old black, just sleight of hand stuff. Card tricks, hat tricks, sleight of hand. There's two different magics, and one of them has nothing to do with the occult and everything to do with the sleight of hand and the eye. It's a trick. It's just a trick. So he took a little radio receiver and sit in the back of that meeting. A radio receiver. You know that any signal that's going, it just picks them. And you can pick up law enforcement, anything that's close and anything that's strong. And you can buy them at Radio Shack. No big technical thing. You just sit down in the back with a little radio receiver. See if it picks up anything interesting. And when you go into the meeting, you fill out a prayer card. And you fill out your greatest prayer need. Well, of course, I'm scheduled for a biopsy Wednesday afternoon. And they think it may be cancer. My name is John Smith, and that's what I'm facing right now. And you turn in the prayer card. And so you take all those prayer cards, and his wife goes in the back room, and there's a little radio receiver in his ear. He wears his hair down, and you can pull it down and just barely cover that little radio receiver. And you know what the amazing Randy got back there? He got a lady's voice on there saying, there's a man in the audience. His name is John Smith. He's scheduled for cancer surgery Wednesday, or a biopsy Wednesday. He thinks he may have cancer. He says, you don't go like this. He goes... And you know who's gullible? Because they don't care where he comes from. They don't care what his past history is. All they care is I'm getting what I want. And I'm so tuned into the charismata, I have no concern about the character. I don't check out the character. God is more concerned about perfecting my character than he has given me more gifts, more influence. He wants Bobby saved. He wants me like his son. Can you say, man, he's not through with me because I've been preaching all these years. Amen. My character isn't perfected yet. I still have trials. The refiner is still working on me. Is the refiner still, can he still work on you? Can you say, man, do you want him to still, do you want him to see his face? Do you want him to start seeing his visage reflected in us? Can you say, man? Nothing's going to do that but receiving the Word of God and bowing and getting humble before him and repenting when it's necessary and opening our life. Not running from every trial, but saying, Lord, give me the grace to go through this and show me while you're at it. Amen? Fix this instability in me. Did you know your flesh is unstable? Let's don't just lay it on Reuben tonight. Everybody in here, our flesh is an unstable element in our life. That's why the Bible says you can't trust it, you can't lean on it, you can't conform it. There's only one solution. Crucify the flesh with the lust thereof. Amen? Because if we don't teach that, if we don't understand that, if we don't apply that, if we don't even let the trials that come help us to achieve that. Every time I'm hurt and broken, discouraged, disheartened, a part of that ego, a part of that God wants to purge out of me, goes out of me. And the more of that goes out of me, the more of Jesus that can come through me. I mean, the first time I spoke to 60 pastors, and I've not been around pastors, and I remember speaking, and we didn't beat the rain, so there's no point in me hurrying now. It's too late. It's all over. I was looking at 7:30. I don't think I'm going to make it, but it's raining. We don't want you to get soaked. We'll wait the rain out. We should be out by 9:30 or 10. First time I spoke to 50 or 60 ministers, I kept thinking about theological stuff, and then I'd catch myself. You can't tell these preachers anything. They know everything. I know I'm a preacher. Can you say, man, they know it all. Don't preachers know it all? Of course we do. We study the Word. We live the Word. We preach the Word. We're anointed. We're appointed. So I'm thinking, well, you know, they're going to be judging me by every word that I say and assessing me and all of that. And then I'd have to cast that down because I'm thinking, hey, you know, that's what's wrong. That's what's so wrong. We're all trying to impress one another with our knowledge, our theological understanding, our insights, our delivery, our anointings. At some point, we've got to get real in order to be relevant to each other. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to speak from my heart. If you lead me to bring a scripture into it, that's fine. But mainly, I'm going to talk heart to heart. Because I'm talking to men that know the scripture. And what we're trying to do is get the reverend off of it in this meeting. We don't want reverends here. We don't want bishops here. We don't want pastors here. We want men here. How many know when that bishop goes home, if he's got a child, what that child calls him? Mom! Bishop Jones is home! What's that little girl say when he walks in? Mom, the apostle's here. Oh, there's my apostle. No, he's not an apostle to her. He's not a bishop to him. He's daddy. Can you say, man, daddy's home? Hallelujah. A man walked through the door. He may have a mantle, but he's still a man. Hallelujah. The mantle may make him a bishop, but God is interested in that man. And God wants to see Jesus in that man. Not just give that man to work miracle, power to work miracles. He wants to see Jesus in that man and in that woman. The whole fivefold ministry so he can see Jesus in us. And if it's not working to that great end, it's not truly, amen, the way God wants it to function. And it's not functioning that way right now. It's not perfecting the saints in that respect. Amen. We write checks, we get rich. We write checks to get healed. We write checks to get a job. We write checks. That concept solves everything. What about character? Amen. If I write a check and I get $10,000 tomorrow, is that going to make me a better person? In fact, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't grow in character and the character of Jesus in particular as a Christian, and you suddenly come into riches and wealth, and you think you're going to stay humble and just help God and do His will and be such a blessing, and it's not going to change you, you just keep your humility. You may think that, but God already knows what it would do to you. Yeah. Amen? He already knows. He knew Peter was going to deny Him when Peter was telling him, the rest of them may, but I won't. Can you say amen? But God knew, didn't He? Because He knew what was on the inside. Peter didn't know it yet, but when Peter was out there weeping bitterly, Peter got a good look at his true self. Can you say amen? I said he got a good look at his true self. Some trials are designed so we can get a good look at our true self, so we can let God go to work in that part of us that would never be open to Him unless that trial brought our true self out. David wanted his true self to be seen. And he knew killing giants wasn't enough, because he knew what he did with that man's wife and what he did to cover it up was a heinous, horrible sin. Amen. And he didn't deserve anything but to be destroyed. But God was gracious when he repented. What a good God that we serve. But David said, I don't want that to ever happen to me again. Search me, O Lord. Amen. I'm not hiding from you. I'm not projecting a false persona. Lord, search me. I want you to search the... You know me better than I know myself, so I don't even trust myself to assess myself. I open my life, my heart wide to you. Every motive in me, I subject it to you who know the true intents of my heart. Search me, O Lord. And see if there's something unclean. Because if there is, I don't want it to trip me up anymore. I want to nip it in the bud. That's the character that caused David to be restored. That's what God was looking for. It wasn't just that anointing to kill that giant. It was that yielding of the life completely over to God. And the desire, hallelujah, to be right in the eyes, created me what? Created me a fresh anointing, Lord. Oh, I failed and messed up and slept with a woman that wasn't my wife and slept with a woman that was somebody else's wife and had him killed to cover up my sin. But just give me more anointing so I can show everybody that I'm back. Hallelujah. Brother so-and-so is back for another attack. Hallelujah. Amen. No. Create in me. This old heart of mine failed. This old heart of mine had iniquity in it. When I was sitting up on my throne and they were singing my praises and your praises for the slain of the giant. Saul has killed his 1,000. David his 10,000. I'm relishing in all of that glory. But in my heart and in my character there was a flaw. And it was almost my ruin if it wasn't for your grace and mercy. So search me, O Lord. Create in me. Wash me first with hyssop. The hyssop was used in a whole lot of different ways, but one of the ways it was used was to apply the blood to the doorpost. They took that plant because it would hold the blood and enough to get it splashed on the doorpost. Can you say, man? Wash me with hyssop and I will be clean. And create in me what? Clean heart. That's a cry for holiness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Praise God. Then that influence of that firstborn, then it comes back. Then, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Don't see that salvation in New Testament, New Covenant. Salvation, born again. This is God's deliverance. Return to me, I'll do what? Return to you. Can you say, man, that power is going to come back. That anointing is going to come because that integrity is being restored. Can you say, man, that heart is being cleansed. We want to bypass the cleansing of the heart and get right to the anointing. We just want an impartation. So all of our friends can say, woo, have you seen Brother Taylor lately? He interpreting dreams now. You have a dream, the man will tell you what it means. I seen a dog chasing a cat, and the cat grew to 150 feet tall and swallowed the dog. Ah, yes, I know exactly what it was. It doesn't mean that there isn't people that can help you interpret a dream, but I generally say, if Lord, if you gave me the dream, give me the interpretation. If you speak in tongues, pray that you might interpret. Can you say, man, don't always go dependent on someone else that's going to come along and dominate your life because they have a supposed gift to help you figure out what God wants to say? Because, listen, if you can't hear him talk to you without them, what's going to happen when they're not around? Amen. If he gives you a dream, say, Lord, show me the meaning of this. Daniel said, show me the meaning. God sent an angel. Can you say amen to give him the interpretation because he wanted him to have it? Amen. Listen, if he don't give you the interpretation, guarantee you he didn't give you the dream. Man came in, wanted to preach here just after we got in here. He said, my ministry is the interpretation of dreams. I said, I've never seen that in Scripture. This is new to me. This is very new to me. I've never seen anyone with the ministry of interpreting dreams in the New Covenant. Oh, but Brother Ben, but you haven't met Sister So-and-so. No, and I don't want to neither. Can you say amen? Not only have not I met her, I do not want to meet her. Can you say amen? That's extra biblical. That's not in the book. Can you say amen? But he speaks to us in dreams, but if he's giving you the dream, listen. I've seen this stuff so long. I've seen so many people grab everything that's out there, got question integrity or even biblical precedent for it. We're just grabbing its straws. There's such a spiritual vacuum in the church that we almost grab anything trying to find the living God. And we fail to recognize the God we're looking for is living right here. Hallelujah. He's not wanting to come down from heaven. He's wanting to get out of here, out of your belly, out of my belly, out of my spiritual man shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise tonight. Glory to God. What he's looking for and what we need is integrity. And the spirit of compromise to be broken. And this instability. Paul said, when I come to you, I'm coming with a ministry. And all these gifts were in him. But he said, I want to impart something beyond what any spiritual gift can do. I want to impart to you. And he called it a spiritual gift. But he said, it's something to this end. That you might be established. I looked up that word established in the Greek. And it means to set it one with another. That's to get us personally hooked up to God and not dependent on someone else's anointing, and to get rid of coattail religion. Can you say amen? Where our victory is contingent upon that man or that woman, but it's contingent on our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And we personally begin to know the Lord. And they that know the Lord, believe me, are not going to be running around grabbing at spiritual straws. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. First comes that strength of character, then the doing. Power to be is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will do mighty things. Oh, you will do this, you will do that, you will do the other. No, that's not what it says. Doing it don't come first. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. No. Witnesses unto me. There's no more I that live, Paul said. Christ that liveth in me. That's the power. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to replicate his character in us. And to do that, guess what's going to happen to our old character that was formed in sin? The flesh. What's going to happen? It's got to be put to death. I have to decrease so he can what? Increase. Praise God. I have to die that he might live. Does that mean I don't exist anymore and I'm sitting out here in a void? No, it means I'm living a different life for a different purpose, and there's no ulterior motive in what I'm doing. I'm doing it now for the glory of God, not for vainglory, for self-glory, for self-exaltation, self-gratification. Certainly not for gold and silver. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so gracious. Don't we need some ministry with integrity? Wouldn't the world be shocked to see ministries, presenting their ministry with such integrity that they couldn't pick it apart. They might still criticize it, but they couldn't find legitimate reasons to do it. I can argue when they're just picking at preachers, but I can't argue when they have legitimate reasons to do it, when people are acting like we're seeing acting today. All of this anointing, all of this influence that so many have, but in their character, unstable as water. Unstable as water. The few that come to Christ genuinely put in counterbalance with the tens of thousands that are driven from Christ by what they see and hear. The merchandising, the fleecing of God's people, the message of money over morals, every single service, every single day. The implying that you can buy with the check what was bought with the blood at the cross. Can you say amen? Is to devalue the cross and market it, his suffering, his pain, his anguish, to now say, write me a check. Right. Oh, it's got to be that ministry too. You can't even write it to the poor or the needy. This is the only good ground. This is where you're getting your teaching. Isn't it amazing? Tens of thousands of Pentecostals not looking for any integrity or Christ-likeness. But they're looking for the promise of the windfall. They're looking for the impartation of an anointing. They're looking for what they were looking for back during the Great Depression. You know what they were looking for? They felt helpless, powerless to deal with what had happened to America. At DC Comics, two guys came up with a personality to put in a comic book and a funny paper. Guess what? Did anybody know about him? You know why everybody grabbed a hold of him? Because he is faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings. He don't have to hit a building and jump over to the other building. He can do it in a single bound. Can you say amen? He can fly the moon without a Lorna Doom. Can you say amen? He can really pull it off because he's who? He's Superman. You know what we want to be today? We want to be super dependent on God, who's the only true Superman in this world, in Christ. We want to be Superman. We want to be empowered. I got the power. Elisha wasn't asking for the power. He's asking for the character of the man that God chose to use. Can you say amen? Give me a double portion of the Spirit that's within Elijah. Let me be like that man that I've learned to know and love. And as he went up, he said, Father, Father. Someone last Sunday, when I was so broken, came to me and said, you're my spiritual father. And I know exactly, that's what I just studied in the Word. Father, Father. He was looking up to him as a spiritual father, not just a master, but a spiritual father. He wanted that double portion. I spiritually qualify. I want to be qualified for that double portion that is to the firstborn. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be isn't this precious? What that firstborn was supposed to be, what we're supposed to be. The Bible called them my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. That's what we're called to be. We're to represent our Heavenly Father. We're to represent our Savior and King. Have you got anything out of this tonight? Do you know the rain is slacking up just so we could go home? I think it is. I honestly believe it is. Will you come, brother? Will you come? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my testings, I get broken. And I have a choice. I have a choice to sink in despair. I have a choice to question God and get upset with Him and say, Lord, I spend my life for you. Why is this happening to me? Or why isn't this going my way? And you know what's coming out through all that? I'm seeing Robert. I'm seeing my true motives for ministry. I'm seeing who I really am. It's not to show God who I am. Did you know your trials is not to let God find out? He knows. Everybody say he knows. Listen, he knows a lot more than Santa Claus ever did. Can you say amen? That used to scare me to death. That song kind of scary, isn't it? Amen. You better not pout. You better not cry. You better be good. Why? Why are we supposed to be good? Because he knows when you're sleeping, girl. He knows when you wake up. He knows every word you say and everything you do. Santa Claus is watching you. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, God knows. He knows what I don't know. And David knew that God knows. And he said, I'm not going to try to even fix myself anymore. Search me. Isn't that a great prayer? Search me. If you find something unclean, you bring it to my attention. Amen. So that me and you together can deal with that. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be shipwrecked. I don't want to be chastened. I want the devil and my enemies to overcome me. I want the victory that you promised. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, of your deliverance again. Hallelujah. Then, when I'm restored and when I'm right with God and when godliness is in my life, not just powerful anointings to kill giants, sinners will be converted unto you. And transgressors will learn thy ways. That influence has been restored to David. And now he can lead others in godliness and become the man that God wanted him to be. And the anointing didn't make him that man. It was his humility and him opening his life to God's scrutiny that allowed that process, that change in his character. Praise God. Well, maybe you'll understand your trials better, because in the middle of it, you're going to see you as God sees you and knows that you are. And if something's there that you know is unlike him, that's the time to do business with God. And say, Lord, come into my heart. Soften it again. Soften it again. I didn't realize all this was in. Has anybody had an event happen in your life as we quit because of rainstorm? Has anybody had an event in your life that just made you stop and it took you back? You failed the test. And you were surprised that you did because you thought you were further along than that. Has anybody ever had that happen? Whether it be anger, a word spoken in anger, whether it be an attitude, you copped an attitude, you got rejected somewhere and you got mad at them, wanted fire to come down. You didn't see it because you know you can't see it, but you could wish it, hope it, think it. Can you say amen? And then you know I shouldn't be wishing and hoping, thinking these kind of thoughts, but I really wish and hope and think it would happen. Can you say amen? And then you say, I didn't know that was in me. I thought all that was out of me. Do you know that event allowed you to see something that was growing back that maybe years ago you could plucked up, but now it's growing back? And he gives you an opportunity to do what? Get it, nip it in the bud. Then nip it in the bud. And say, Lord, I want to be more like you. More than I want to be successful. More than I want men's applause. More than I want men to appreciate me. So in that pastor's meeting, I threw away all my preconceived theological ideas of you know, because they're going to be judging every word that I say. And these are all preachers. This is a hard group of people. You'd think it'd be the greatest group. No, not so. This is tough. They know it all. Can you say amen? And they're all wondering what's his angle? What's he all about? What's this all about? What's that all about? Wow. Amen. And to feel the Holy Spirit come and to be able to speak from the heart to heart and say, it doesn't matter how I come over. It doesn't make a bit of difference in the world how I'm perceived. I got one master to please here. It's not that I'm going to be mean. It's not that I'm going to be, not try to do my best for the Lord. But I'm not here to show out. I'm not here to show off. I'm not here to try to get anybody to have a great respect for me, because they find out where I preach, it's out the window anyway. Can you? So why get their expectations raised so high? Amen. And then them say, well, where do you preach? Oh, I preach near the fairgrounds. We just started a new work near the fairgrounds. Well, how many people come? Oh, on a good Sunday, we have 15 or 20. And you watch their face just go off. Like that, remember Petey and the Little Rascals? Remember that dog? Amen. That one eye would start to roll like that. You see them eyes start rolling. And you know they have done declassified you. Amen. Excuse me, I think I... Oh, is that my beeper? No, it isn't, but go ahead. I know why you're leaving. Amen. Listen, I can't worry about all that. All I want to do is serve God and let Him take this ministry on those discs and in here with you and to do what He wants with me. Praise God, and to do my very best until He either tells me to do something else or calls me home. Praise God. And right now, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You say, Brother Bill, why isn't this church filled? You'll have to ask God about that. Amen. 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 And if He tells you, you be sure and come and tell me. Hallelujah. But I can't worry about it anymore. Amen. I know I'm not disobeying Him willfully. And I know I'm where I'm supposed to be on Sunday. And I know He gave me you guys. And I know He's investing in you. And to me, that means that He's got something important to accomplish in and through you. Or He wouldn't bother investing in you. Praise God. Amen. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Praise the Lord. Isn't God gracious? And God so good to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I apologize in a little bit of an apology for going past 7:30, but I believe we needed this tonight, and you're used to it. We'll work together on earlier. This is early for me, all right? This is still early for me. One song tonight, if you will, my dear brother. Praise God. Praise God. Do you have that song, Be Thou Near to Me, Selah? If you don't, it's okay. If you don't, praise God. If you have that, I think.